Chattering. This is Magic the Chattering, a Mad of the Living Geeks production. I'm one of your hosts, Mitch, and joining me again is my partner in crime, Brandon. How are you doing, buddy?
Good. It's been a few weeks. It's been a busy few weeks.
Yeah, you got to acknowledge that breakdown, don't you?
Yeah. Life is life. But jumping into exciting news.
Yes.
Right off the bat. Magic Origins.
Magic Origins.
So this is the next set that replaces core sets. So don't get confused with the fact that there is a quote-unquote core set, because it's not really a core set.
Well, I mean, it is a core set, but it's just their...
Wizards is trying to acknowledge it as not a core set.
Yeah, but it's like kind of their last hurrah of ideas that they would have put in a core set that are now kind of more of a story-oriented... Like, what is the story-oriented version of a core set? And I think that's where Magic Origins comes in.
So, historically speaking, core sets have never had story.
Yeah.
They've been a bunch of filler cards for kind of more for new players to kind of... It's an easy set to get into. There's nothing crazy. They're really simple mechanics, and they're always the what are referred to as evergreen mechanics.
Yeah, stuff that's like...
You always see.
Yeah. Stuff that's like real simple. Flying or unblockable.
First strike.
Yeah, stuff that's like not specific to the storyline of a block.
And typically core sets are supposed to revolve around Dominaria, which is like the main world.
Yeah.
And Origins actually ties together a bunch of different planes and sets together. So you've got like Theros, you've got a bunch of stuff from Alara, you've got some new sets, you've got there are so many things that they're kind of referencing here and there. And one of the coolest parts is that we actually have an idea that was thrown around within our game group, and that was like the 0.5 versions of Planeswalkers.
Yeah, something that's like, what are these creatures right before their spark ignited?
Yeah, so there are the five, what they're calling their main set, Planeswalkers.
Yeah.
So, the first card that was spoiled was Liliana, which was, we did mention in a previous episode.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of the more hyped ones right now, along with, there's a Gideon. There's, of course, Jace, because
Wizards. Yeah, Wizards loves Jace.
There's Nissa, who is not the usual Nissa, other than she's just rampy. She doesn't actually deal with elves yet.
Yeah.
And Chandra.
Yeah, it's too bad. I would have liked a different green planeswalker.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of cool. I just love
Garrick too much.
Yeah, but Garrick, I think they've kind of played the Garrick, quote-unquote, the Garrick card a little too much.
Oh, but they'll print Jace at the drop of a hat, though.
Oh, they love Jace. So every one of these creatures starts off as every one of these planeswalkers starts off as a creature, and then when you fulfill a certain, certain criteria for these creatures, they become planeswalkers. They flip over. So we're kind of going back to the Innistrad, like, double card.
The double face card?
Yeah. So Chandra requires her to deal at least 3 damage to a player in a turn. So she's a 2/2. You can attack, hopefully get through, play a red spell, which on her card says if you play a red spell, you can untap her, and then you can tap her to deal 1 damage, and then she'll flip.
Nice.
And historically, being Chandra, she's not really that great. +1 deals 2 damage to target player, -2 deals 2 damage to target creature, and then... -7.
That's really good.
Well,
those two things are really good.
They are, but historically speaking, Chandras are just not that good compared to other planeswalkers. She's not hyping as hard as like Gideon is or Liliana, but she's coming in at she's a mythic. She's coming in at a $10 pre-order right now, which is still a respectable price.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, if you can get her to flip, which seems to be the tricky part with her ability.
Yes, yes.
She's gonna do some good work.
Yeah. Gideon.
Because I remember Which is the three and a red one that pings Chandra.
The Firebrand?
Yeah, I mean, that one was pretty, comparatively, that was pretty good. And I feel like this Planeswalker version of Chandra is, like, just slightly better than...
Yes, true. Though she, I mean, Jace is a looter, Nissa is ramp, Liliana is lifelink and get to a zombie when she flips.
Mm-hmm.
And Gideon is not his real name when he's a... This is the child version. It's Kytheon. Kytheon, hero of Akros.
I don't think that's how it's pronounced. I think it's Kitty... Like, I think it's pronounced slightly differently, but yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's going to pronounce it different. But he's a 2-1, and if he attacked and at least two other creatures attack this combat, you exile him and return to the battlefield transformed. And he has an ability... That is 2 and a white, and he gains indestructible until end of turn.
I think Gideon's front face is the best of the original. Well, Jace and Gideon, I think, are tied for being pretty good. But like,
yeah,
Gideon's, that's just insanity. A 2-1 for 1, and you can threat of activation give him indestructible.
Yeah, and the
so basically puts... he has it unblockable.
Yeah, I mean, there's already a bunch of people talking about the revival of White Weenie decks because Knight of the White Orchid is a reprint.
Yeah.
You know, it would be cool to see a creature deck other than Red Deck Wins play out, but at the same time, I don't know how... We'll have to see, definitely, because hopefully...
Well, you're talking about...
There's enough creatures in this to actually make a viable White Weenie deck.
Well, I'm sure, like, because, like... Monastery with Monastery Mentor, I think that's a very reasonable addition.
Yes.
So,
I mean, we'll see.
And that's already a deck, so we'll see. But if you're talking about a creature deck, we should talk about a new creature. I think that we're both excited about Shaman of the Pack.
Oh, elves are back!
Elves are back. 1 black green, 2/3/2. When he enters the battlefield, target opponent loses life equal to the number of elves you control. I'm just blown away.
It's so good.
About how good that is. And there's a new Elf Lord.
Yes, it's a legendary Elf Lord, which, in regards to lords, is not the best, but it's a really good lord.
It's a fair lord.
Yeah, I mean, 4/3/4 with reach. Other elves you control get +1/+1 lord ability. And then when it attacks, you gain 1 life for each attacking elf you control.
I didn't even read the rest of that card until just now.
Yeah, that it's pretty good. It's also, it's kind of nice because... it's bringing in Guiltleaf, which is a Lorwyn storyline. So it's another set that is kind of feeding into this Origins.
Into the way these planes are interconnected.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's... Because, you know, you got Nissa, who's coming from Zendikar. Mm-hmm. We're now seeing, you know, there's Lorwyn. There's so many cool things. And especially... With the amount of elves that are being printed, I think elves could be a viable deck. I think it could be an awesome deck to play.
Yeah, I mean, the way that they printed these elves, I'm like, did they accidentally mix up Lorwyn and Magic Origin design set files? Yeah. There's a bunch of green elves, there's a couple of black elves.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be kinda cool.
I'm down. I am so down for this elf deck.
The nice thing that I'm kind of digging right now is that Goblin Piledriver is a reprint.
What?
I'm so excited about Goblin Piledriver.
Well, you should be.
Yeah. Goblins haven't been a thing in a while, and it's kind of nice to see because goblins were kind of, you know, they're an original tribe.
Yeah.
Piledriver is such a powerful card, and it's really nice to see it back because it was a driving force in the Goblins deck.
A pile driving force?
A pile driving force. But we do actually have a new keyword.
Oh, yeah?
It's called Renown.
Mm-hmm.
So Renown states that when this creature deals combat damage to a player, if it isn't renowned, you put a +1/+1 counter on it, and it becomes renowned. And every creature has a renowned number. So it's renowned 1, renowned 2, and they'll get +1/+1 counters based off the renowned number they have.
Right.
And some of these creatures are really good. I mean, it's not quite... I feel like this is... it's definitely kind of like a step up down of, like, Exalted. Like, I like it. I'm more of a fan of Exalted.
Well, it's less like Exalted and more like Bloodthirst, in that it's a one-time thing that happened.
True. It's definitely cool, though. I'm pretty excited. There's, like, Knight of the Pilgrim's Road, which is a 3-2 for 2 and a white, and it has Renown 1.
Yeah.
I would play that. That's a great creature. There's Citadel Castellan, which is a 2-3 for 1 green-white, Vigilance and Renown 2. Seems pretty solid creature.
Yeah, I feel like, and those are going to be kind of situational, in that if you can get them to connect, then you get you can take an okay creature into a good creature.
Though they did make a slight step down of Noble Hierarch in the Honor to Hierarch, which is a 1/1 for 1 green. He has Renown 1, and as long as he's renowned, it has Vigilance, and it can tap for 1 mana of any.
That looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's not as good as Noble Hierarch, because Noble Hierarch just hit the ground. It made mana. But turn 1, Honor to Hierarch. I mean, I can still see merits for playing this card, just because it's still good.
Yeah, you don't get a mana out of it until turn 3 at least, though.
Yeah, I mean...
But that's not bad.
For the card, though, it's pretty good.
Yeah, you get in one... Deal 1 damage, maybe. I think that's going to be a hard sell to get that to work, but if it does, it'll be nice.
Yes, definitely.
Someone was saying there's a card from Fate Reforged called Renowned Weaponsmith, and it's going to be eroded to say Renown 0.
That'll be fun. So, there is that one sweet black card that we were kind of freaking out about that has... I guess there are two sweet, really sweet black cards.
Which one are you talking about?
I'm most excited about Demonic Pact.
Oh, yes, that is the one I was talking about as well.
Okay, so it has...
I think this came from the same... Picture. I think this came from the same contest that Waste Not came out of.
It doesn't say community created, but it does have a feeling of it being community created.
No, I remember this was one of those cards. Like, it was one of the finalists, but Waste Not, like, won the vote.
Oh, it's a leftover from that.
Yeah. I just don't think they're doing that designed by whomever
got it. So this card's awesome. It's definitely living up to its card name.
Yeah.
It's a black enchantment for 2 and 2 black. At the beginning of your upkeep, choose one that hasn't been chosen. Deals 4 damage to target creature or player, and you gain 4 life. Target opponent discards 2 cards. Draw 2 cards. Or you lose the game.
Oh, God!
welcome to your 3-turn clock.
That is just so amazing.
So, there's been a ton of rules discussion already about this.
Right.
And it's fairly hilarious how it was... The best explanation is, if you find a way to end the turn before the ability resolves, it kind of just doesn't happen. And so if you get to the you lose the game choice and you just manage to end your turn immediately, not just saying I end my turn, but actually forcing you to end your turn, you don't really lose the game. It just kind of sits there.
Hmm. So if you are able to fire off, was that Sundial of the Infinite or maybe...
Stop.
Time Stop?
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of sits there and just waits. It just hopes to be blinked, so you can at least use it again.
Oh my god. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, I feel like this card is going to make it into at least a few decks, just because it's got definitely a bit of versatility. I'm really curious as to how it's going to be used, but I feel like it's definitely going to see some play. There is Baby Mutilate, which is in the form of a card called Languish.
I believe that the proper nickname is Darnation.
Okay, it is 2 and 2 black. It's a sorcery, and all creatures get -4/-4 until end of turn.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, this card is going to be seeing some play, but you know what it doesn't kill?
Huh.
Siege Rhino.
Well, because Siege Rhino is a 4/5, isn't it?
It is, and people have been pointing this out, going, you couldn't have made it 5? Really? You had to let Sea Dryno live.
All creatures get -4/-5 until end of turn.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good way. It's a good card for control. It's a good way to clear out smaller nuisancey stuff. I've seen some people talking about maybe playing like a tighter version of the Abzan deck and using Languish to kind of clear the way for Rhinos. But at the same time, I mean, we'll see. It's a cool card. It's going to see some play. And I'm looking forward to opening some packs with it.
Yeah, for real.
There's so many cool cards in this set. Especially the multiples creatures, like Timberpack Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
There's Undead Servant. Undead Servant, I think, is my favorite. It's kind of awesome. It definitely does the I'm a zombie thing. It's a 4-cost 3/2. It's a 3 mm-hmm. and a, it's 3 and a black. And when it enters the battlefield, you put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield for each card named Undead Servant in your graveyard.
Oh, in your graveyard? Well, that's weird.
Well, that's why I feel like flavor-wise, it does the whole zombie thing.
Yeah, but I would expect it to be, like, on the battlefield.
The other ones do it. Mm-hmm. Cleric of the Forward Order is a 2/2 for 1 and a white, and you gain 2 life for each other, for each creature you control named Cleric of the Forward Order when it enters the battlefield.
Mm-hmm. And what's the red one? What's the red one? So...
Let's see. The red one is actually an enchantment.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, Infectious Bloodlust. It's 1 and a red, and a enchanted creature gets +2/+1 and haste and attacks each turn if able. If enchanted creature dies, you may search your library for a card called Infectious Bloodlust, reveal it and put it in your hand, and shuffle your library.
Eh.
It's red. I just don't know how much I like it. Green's Wolf is a reprint.
Yeah, the Timberpack Wolf.
Yeah, I mean, which is... it's fine. It's a good creature.
Mm-hmm. But that would be fun. And the blue one gives you flying. Wait, no. What am I thinking of? That's a different one.
I believe... Is it Fairy Miscreant? I believe it's Fairy Miscreant.
Oh.
So...
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
It's
flying, and if it's a one blue for a 1/1 flyer, and when it enters the battlefield, if you control another creature with the same name, draw a card.
I mean, I feel like they couldn't make that as a for each one named.
Yeah,
because that'd be way too powerful. But I think this is a good creature. I like the idea of getting a little bonus for playing another one, and it's a 1/1 flying.
Well, my idea then of using Infinite Reflection to make all these good doesn't really seem as good, so I might just do the white-green one. Anyway, Infinite Reflection.
So there are a bunch of creatures actually with prowess, which
is very interesting to have. They typically bring back some block mechanics in the core sets.
Yeah, it was. I think I was just not expecting prowess so soon.
I feel like M15 had one. It had one mechanic from the just Theros.
I believe you're right. I didn't play enough M15 though to remember which one it would have been.
Might have been Convoke. No.
Yes. It, no, because Modern Masters had Convoke.
Oh, Triplicate Spirits was in M15.
I believe you're right.
Okay, we'll table that. Table that idea.
There is actually, it's kind of cool because they made a keyword for an ability that's actually been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
So there used to be a card called Goblin War Drums, which your creatures couldn't be blocked except by 2 or more creatures. That was the wording on the card. So now it's a keyword called Menace. So this creature can't be blocked except by 2 or more creatures. Done.
There you go.
And it's...
Kind of like how they keyworded Intimidate not too long ago.
Yes. I'm kind of glad that they keyworded it. It's kind of cool having that. It's,
yeah,
I kind of like it better than Intimidate, but Intimidate was also very powerful, like Blade Tusk Boar and...
Yeah, still very powerful. But it's nice to have, like, instead of a little bit of chunk of rules text, to just shorten it down to a keyword that's a lot easier to figure out.
Yeah. And actually, speaking of red cards, we actually have the first, I guess this would be the first parent card of another character.
Yeah, we found out who Chandra's parents are, is that right?
Yes, and the joke right now is that it's the new Siege King commander.
What?
Yeah, it's It's 2/2 red for a 2/2. When they enter, so it's, was it Pia?
Pia and Karan.
Yeah, so they're human artificers. They're legendary. But when they come into the battlefield, you put 2/1/1 colorless Thopter tokens onto the battlefield, then they have flying. And you can pay 2 and a red, sacrifice an artifact. So it's an artifact. It's not a Thopter, it's an artifact.
Yeah, yeah.
And they deal 2 damage to target creature or player.
That looks freaking great.
Yeah, this is a good card.
Yeah.
It's a really good card.
Siege Gang for one less to get you one less dude, but...
You know, artifacts are a lot easier to come by than goblins.
It's true. And because usually you can get them with other methods.
Yes. And, you know, it makes it, it makes drafting Rune Servitors not as bad.
Is Rune Servitor in the set?
Yeah, it is. They did reprint it. So, I mean, I don't necessarily feel as bad if I'm forced into drafting one. Well, it's nice that there's
an artifact that you can get a little bit of value off when it dies.
Yeah. And speaking of Value Town? Harbinger of the Tides. Legacy Fish is kind of going crazy.
Yeah, so this is a blue for a 2/2 creature merfolk wizard. You may cast it though it had flask if you pay 2 colorless more. And when it enters the battlefield, you get to return target tapped creature an opponent controls to its owner's hand.
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty cool card. Yeah. It's
because if, like, on the surface, it's like, oh, instant speed mana war seems really good.
I mean, it's a combat trick, if anything, and Legacy Fish plays Aether Vial, so...
Oh, you can just...
Boop. Yeah.
Doesn't make you pay more for it.
I think the people I've seen talking about it currently are trying to figure out if there's more value removing Thassa or Merfolk Reejury. Which, I'm not a Legacy Fish player, so yeah. I don't know the value between the two, but hey, I mean, it's an awesome card regardless.
True.
I mean, I'm kind of interested, because I do watch Legacy videos, and I'm kind of interested to see where this card ends up.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the crappy part of it's a tapped creature and a creature an opponent controls.
Yeah, I mean, if it was just comes into play, bounces a creature, that'd be way too powerful.
Well, obviously, yes, but it's slightly less good than Mana War.
Yeah, but, I mean, this set is shaping up to be, I think, one of the finest, like, quote-unquote core sets.
Oh, for sure.
There are some amazing cards in here, and it's...
Because it feels like there's a lot more new cards in here.
Yes, yes.
Whereas, like, previous core sets have been, like, close to, like, 50 or 60% old cards and reprints and the rest new cards. This feels like mostly new cards with the splashing of reprints, more like a regular block set, like an extra level set.
Yeah, I mean, there's some, I guess, higher level keywords. So we've got Prowess, we've got Scry, Renowned is a new one. Menace is a quote-unquote new one.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there are so many really awesome things about the set. And one of the things I'm really excited for, and I'm really hoping it works out, is Spell Mastery. Some of these spells have something that says Spell Mastery. If there are 2 or more instants and or sorcery cards in your graveyard, you do an additional effect.
Okay.
So, like, Dark Petition. 3/2 black. Sorcery. Search your library for a card and put that card into your hand. Shuffle your library. Spell Mastery gives you a Dark Ritual along with it.
Ooh.
It just, when you cast it, oh, look, I fulfill Spell Mastery. Now I get 3 black in my pool.
Which is nice. I feel like you're getting an okay effect for that spell.
And you're not paying extra. That's the thing.
Yeah, you get an okay. You get it. Like, I'm looking at one. It's called "Send It to Sleep." For one and a blue, you get to tap up to two target creatures. Fantastic. That's a playable spell on its own. And then if you happen to have cast it twice before or milled two copies of it, you get to make those creatures not untap. So it's like during their next untap step. So it's like a...
It's an icy breath.
It's good enough on its own, and then maybe you get a bonus out of it. I think that's fine. It's not great. Yeah. It's fine.
I mean, there's like one card I think is really awesome is Fiery Impulse.
Mm-hmm.
It's one red. It's an instant. Deals two damage to our creature. I would prefer if it, you know, creature or player, but I'll take it. It's target creature. Spell Mastery, it actually deals 3 damage. I'm getting a bonus damage for not really doing anything.
Yeah.
I think it's a limited, I think limited-wise, it's a great card.
It's...
In regards to what I'm seeing in this set, it's a pretty good card. It's cool, just, I think it's just cool because I'm getting a bonus effect and I really didn't have to work for it. If I'm already playing a deck that has a bunch of spells in it, Spell Mastery is just that, it's that nice little extra, like, effect that I'm just going to get to use for free.
Yeah, it's just going to be difficult to, in limited, it's going to be difficult to get to just make sure you have all those cards enough and casting them enough that you're going to get that bonus. Because I don't know if you're going to get 3 of any one of these cards in a draft.
No, but if I get, like, let's say I get a few just, you know, 7 or 8 spells, and 1 or 2 has Spell Mastery, I'm fine with that. Well,
you're never going to activate it then.
No, it's just as if there are 2 or more instant or sorcery cards in your graveyard. It doesn't care what the card is. It just cares if it's an instant or sorcery.
Oh.
That's why I'm so excited about this, is because it just, yeah, whatever, I've got instants or sorceries.
I see. I misunderstood that. I thought it was like...
copies of the card.
Yeah, like accumulated knowledge or...
No. If it was that, it would be way worse.
Or it was like, was that?
It's accumulated knowledge. It's
No. There was an enchantment. One in a red. When you cast a spell and you had that spell in your graveyard.
Our Master's Ascension.
Yes, that's the one. I was thinking like that, or like accumulated knowledge. Okay, that is way better.
Yeah. So like. One I'm really stoked about is Ravaging Blaze. X and 2 red. So X, red, red. It deals X damage to target creature or player. Target creature. It's an instant. If you have Spell Mastery, it also deals X to that creature's controller.
Awesome.
So before the end of your turn, I'm going to spike your dude for 5. Oh, by the way, you took 5 as well. Yeah. I mean, it's... I'm really excited.
It's going to be good. That could be good. The instants and sorceries are going to be what you have fewest of in your limited decks, but there might be one that's abusable for constructed magic.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure someone will find one.
Yeah, it's going to be abusable at some point to some person at some time.
Right on.
But yeah, this I'm already setting up to buy a few boxes of this.
As you do. So I remember you went to GP Vegas recently. Did you want to talk about what you saw there, what you did?
I went with my brother and our mutual friend Nate. So if for anybody who hasn't been to a GP, this is the best thing I can tell you. It's basically a con. It's a convention for Magic players. That's what it is. I played in. Including the main event, I played in 4 sealed events. I played in 3 drafts, and I got a bunch of cards signed. I bought a bunch of really good cards at a really great price, which is usually what I go hunting for.
Yeah.
And it was I was only there for 3 days, but 3 days is totally enough. 4 days is kind of overkill,
mm-hmm.
unless you're like grinding the PTQ, you know, the
side events.
Yeah, if you're grinding points, then yeah, you're going to be there 4 days. But the first sealed, so the sealed were always the, except for one of them, was the open and pass. And you always had the option of, if you liked your pool, just raise your hand, say judge, and then you drop. Hmm. So my first sealed, the very first sealed I'm doing, Splinter Twin, Eleshnorn, Foil Bitter Blossom. Judge, I drop.
Not from the main event, though.
Not the main event. It was a side event. And I was, I got my playmat, I got my packs, and opening up a foil Bitter Blossom, a Leshnorn and Splinter Twin, and then I think I opened two more decent rares. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I definitely got my value back on this. I'm going to drop.
Did it feel good?
It did. Having a foil Bitter Blossom is pretty awesome. I can definitely be happy about that. The main event was not so good.
Yeah.
Opened garbage, got past garbage. I opened 7 pieces of removal and about 6 decent creatures.
That sounds not bad.
In a sealed pool where I got 4 Ulamog's Crushers.
You can't play 4 Ulamog's Crushers.
No. I got 4 Ulamog's Crushers and an Ulamog. And the rest of my creatures were 1/1s and 2/2s.
That's rough.
Yeah. I did get 3 Nameless Inversion. Mm-hmm. I got a couple of Instill Infections. I got 2 Spread the Sickness. But the deck just didn't have it. Like, the rest of my colors, except for black-red, were just garbage. And the black-red just, it was... I had 1 Goblin Fireslinger, I had 2 Dusk Hunter Bats, and it was just garbage from then on. So, needless to say, I did not make it very far in the main event.
What did your record end up being?
I dropped actually at the middle of the second round. Because I was like, you know what, I just hate this deck, and I just gave the guy the wins, and I left.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was there. I'm mostly an artist hunter, and yeah. I like going after vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a bunch of cards signed. I got my very, very awesome custom requested playmat from Arcade Post. I have Ikarid fighting the Pokemon Golurk in San Francisco Bay in a Pacific Rim style. And I got to meet Eric Deschamps. I got to meet Richard Kane Ferguson. I met Christopher Rush again. And the 3 artists I was really hoping to meet, but I didn't get a chance to, was Raymond Swallen, who drew Ugin. He drew the Morph tokens. He's drawn a ton of cards.
Yeah.
His line was a 4-hour wait.
It sounds about 3 hours too long.
Yeah, so, and it was a minimum of, it was a maximum of 10 cards signed.
Oh, yeah.
And, there was Chris Ron, who was hoping to meet up again because he signed all the swords.
Uh-huh.
He had 4-hour wait.
Damn.
And, there was Carla Ortiz, who's a new artist for Magic, mm-hmm. who happened to draw a bunch of Commander cards.
Nice.
Her line was 6 hours long. No maximum on cards.
Nice.
So I was kind of like, yeah, those, I'll find them later.
Yeah.
But Eric Deschamps did an altar for me. He did, he took Elspeth's Son's Champion and turned it into undead Elspeth. So she's dressed up in the Theros underworld garb.
Oh, with the little,
he's got the mask and the robes and
what
the
are they armor called?
And everything. And I think it's one of my favorite altars. I've never seen... He was like, so what do you want? And I said, oh, do you mind putting like the underworld background? And he goes, I could just make her undead if you want. And I went, whatever,
sold.
Man.
Sold.
And, I mean, the great thing about the artists is that they're all so nice. They're yeah. like the nicest people. Jung Park was there. I'm totally butchering this guy's name, but Yong Soon, he was, he's another Korean artist,
mm-hmm.
Who did Steam Vents and a few other cards from, Return to Ravnica. And then you've got like, you know, Richard Kane Ferguson is an old artist. He's been around the block a few times. He did Alliances cards.
Damn.
He did some old cards. And, he actually happens to be David's favorite artist, so David was pretty stoked to get some cards signed from him. And
past and future guest David Montgomery.
Past and future, I walked around the artist tables, got my cards signed, I got a bunch of altars done, and I hit up vendors. And to give you guys an idea of how willing these vendors are to cut you a deal.
Yeah,
I got. There was one table I went to, and they were like, hey, are you interested in buying temples? And I went, yeah, I mean, depending on the price. And they go, we've got a bunch of foreign temples. We will sell you $1 a piece.
What?
And I went, yeah, sure. Let me see them. And it was kind of like I didn't want anybody else to hear because I'm like, I can buy all these temples. But I got two of each of the Jund colored ones.
Yeah.
I've got one each of the Bant colored ones. I got the Obzon colored ones. And then I think I got two red green.
Wow.
All for $1.
That's awesome.
And then most of them were either foreign or there was like a tiny mark on them. And they were just like, we can't even sell these, dude. We just need to get rid of them.
Okay. I wish I would have picked up some of those. Sounds good.
I got a Sublime Archangel for $4. I got a Karmic Guide for $2. I mean, these guys are just there to make money. They're trying to sell the stuff that does not sell.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'd rather pawn it off to some random Magic player that would enjoy it rather than pay to ship it back.
Yeah, and I mean, some of these guys were even from Hawaii. Like, they traveled.
Wow.
And, yeah, I mean, I got a mint condition Rafika the Many for like $8.
Yeah.
I got a 10 of the Harvester, which is an older, quote unquote, Elder Dragon.
Yeah.
And I got a foil one for like 12.
Nice.
I picked up a bunch of the Commander deck cards for, maybe about half to a quarter off.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're looking to build up your stable, like, Commander card roster, find a GP. Find a GP near you. Go in understanding that you're going to be spending money, but work with them on it. Just say, like, hey, I want to buy these cards, and ask them what the price is, and see if they'll knock a couple bucks off for you, because they're usually willing to work. You know, they're there to make money, they're there to get rid of stock, and they're there to make sure that they understand how to get your business. And they want your business, because they'll hand you a card, they'll say, hey, you know, thanks for dealing with us, here's a card, you know, check us out online. So, it's a really good way to build up your commander roster.
Nice.
Also, people have promos for sale, and they usually want to sell them for super cheap.
Yeah.
I got a couple of the promo Courses of Krufix for $3 less than I should have.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it was kind of nice. But, yeah, GP Vegas was a blast. I had a ton of fun. I mean, you know, Modern Masters is not a cheap set, so I did spend a little more than I was really, really hoping to. But
it's a good set.
I do not regret it at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's hands down one of the best GPs I've ever been to.
Awesome. So, speaking of Modern Masters.
Ah, Modern Masters. We did a draft.
I've done a few drafts, and last night was the first time that I actually did okay in Modern Masters too. My other drafts have been like 0-1 drop or 0-2 drop.
I mean, you drafted a pretty sweet deck.
Thanks to your great decision to tell me to take Cranial Plating first and then draft Affinity, and that was just a fantastic idea because every time I cast Cranial Plating and equipped it for any amount, I giggled.
Yeah, Cranial Plating alone wins games. That card is nuts. It was super good back in the day, and it's super good now.
Yeah, it's unfair. It is an unreal card. But so my deck looked like a Court Homunculus, a Dark Steel Axe, Cranial Plating, Glinthawk Idols, Blinding Soul Eater, Sickle Slicer, a couple of Frogmites, Fairy Mechanist, a Lodestone Golem, a Lodestone Mirror, Glass Dust Hulk, and a Mirror Enforcer. So, like, my deck is basically half artifacts. So at any time, Cranial Plating was hitting for, like, 5 or 6 at a time, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, it's... Affinity is a serious deck. Like, it seems gimmicky, but it's no very, joke. It's a real deck. It's a really hard-hitting deck.
It's very linear, but it's very, very fun. Very, very fun. I had fun playing it.
I mean, you're playing with by far my favorite keyword.
Yeah, Affinity.
I mean, being able to play like 2/2s and 4/4s for free, that's a really nice feeling.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, my draft didn't go as well. I thought it was a good deck, but I did get outplayed by a few things. And I had most of a token sacrifice deck. I just didn't have... I was missing a few pieces. And
yeah.
First pick one, pack one. I got a Creekwood Liege. That was pretty awesome. And I was like, sweet. Green-black tokens or, you know, green-white tokens. This could work.
Yeah.
And I got Drooling Grudian. I got The Truth, which is Algae Garyal.
The Truth!
I got a Scavenger Drake. I got a couple Dread Drones. I got a Nest Invader. Kozilek Predator. Nameless Inversion. Two Bloodthorn Vampires. A Reassembling Skeleton. Some Tukatung Thalids. And Scatter the Seeds. I got Genesis. And I was like, oh man, this deck is so sweet. And every time it came down to either I got outraced in the early game where I was chumping with too many tokens and not sacrificing them to stuff, or I just got out controlled. And that is one of the downfalls of the token deck, is that if they start taking out your like Bloodthorn Vampires when you're not ready, if they manage to knock out like Drooling Grudian, it just ends up as a tough uphill battle, which is the downfall of the tokens deck, in my opinion.
Yeah. I tried to draft the tokens deck also, and it did not go as well because I missed the signal that I was missing all the good cards for the tokens deck.
The tokens deck works. It's just you really need to set them off their game with more control than they have.
Yeah, or bust out a shrivel and make their day unhappy.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's Modern Masters. It's the draft format is super fun. It's super competitive. There's a lot of really fun decks you can build.
I think I prefer the original Modern Masters draft to this one.
The 13 compared to 15. So yeah. Modern Masters 1.
Because I think Modern Masters 2015 makes for a bit more of a open draft format. Like, you can kind of do what you want more, whereas the previous one was kind of locked in. Like, you've got 10 archetypes, pick one of them and draft it.
Yeah, because this one, you can pretty much always play tribal, like domain, and you're totally fine. There's Motka Rioters, there's Tribal Flames, there's Skyreach Manta, Etched Oracle, Etched Monstrosities. I mean, there are plenty of ways to do five color, even like four or five color, and you're totally fine. As long as you've got the fixing, you're totally done.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I do agree with what you're saying though. The first Modern Masters was, it was very precise about what you drafted.
Yeah.
Like, and this one is definitely way more open-ended.
Yeah. I think that just, suits my style of drafting. Like, I bet, Modern Masters 2015 is more geared for people who are like super spiky drafters and can get into the nuts and bolts of like drafting really, really well.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of prefer this open to interpretation Modern Masters.
Yeah.
The first Modern Masters, I was not... I mean, I had fun. I did pretty well in a few drafts, but I just don't think I had as much fun as I do with this one. But like you said, it's kind of dependent on your draft style. If you're more open-ended, if you like to kind of mess and tweak with stuff, you're going to have a lot of fun with this because there's a lot of options.
Right. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
It's either way though. It's a great set and it's a limited run. So if you do get a chance to play in some, they are a little expensive, but they're a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, they also offer the Phantom format, so you can...
you don't have to pay anything. You can always just play.
Yeah, if you're on the... well, no, you can't. You have to pay something.
Well, you have to play the Phantom points.
Yeah, which are slightly less expensive.
Yeah, considering that you didn't pay anything out of pocket.
Right.
But I actually, today, while I was supposed to be talking to family, I was drafting Fate Reforged Con, and ooh. I got a really sweet Grixis control deck.
Yeah.
Double Winter Flame, Arc Lightning, triple Dowsing Gloom, I got a Monastery Flock, the River Prowler, two Summit Prowlers, two Scaldkins, Lotus Path Djinn, Cunning Strike, Reach of Shadows, Whirlwind Adept, two Will of the Naga, Noxious Dragon, and River Wheel Aerialists.
Mm. You said it right on the first try. Congratulations.
And, I was like, I kept going, oh, I gotta cast, wait, I gotta read this card. What is its name?
Real Aerialists.
So I lost to the black-white, like, the Mardu Warriors deck.
Ooh. That deck's kind of brutal.
It's a really tough deck, especially when somebody has triple Ponyback Brigade.
Ooh, yeah. You're not
That guy's, I mean, we went, it went 2-1 in his favor, but the guy commented going, I'm not even sure if I could have beaten that if I'd not top deck like such and such card.
Yeah.
And because our games were like by like 3 life. That's how close it was.
Oh man.
And he and I had, you know, we had really good games back and forth. The other two guys, I stomped the crap out of them. you play a morph, I deal it 2. You play a morph, I deal it 2. You play a morph, I deal it 2. Prowess guy.
Thanks for playing.
And then, it was brutal just the whole time. And, the greatest was facing my third opponent was a guy named Djinn Master. So I played all of my prowess guys who all happened to be Djinns.
Nice.
And I was like, this is so ironic.
Cause you're beating him
for 14.
His own thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a draft format I had been able to do. I was very busy with work at that time, so it was just, I was unable to draft them. But, it's Grixis control. In most formats, that does really well.
Right. Yeah, I was kind of off that whole rest of the cons block, so... I mean, I'm really excited to get into actually being exciting about a Magic set with Origins coming out. So,
yeah,
looking forward to that.
It's going to be pretty awesome. I'm really excited to see what the Origins draft archetypes kind of end up being. I mean, there's always the traditional ones, but at the same time, you know, drafting Green White Renown could be a great, great thing.
Right. Cool. All right. I think that's all that's going to do it for this week. So check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/thechattering. You can find this and other great shows on www.notlg.com. Our intro music is by Kevin McLeod. That's going to do it for this week. Thanks for listening.
Night of the Living Geek.